Hey, good morning and welcome to everybody. This is the first time we are offering a live webcast, so hopefully everything will be fine. And so my name is Ken Casada. I am a developer evangelist at Microsoft Switzerland, and today I'm going to introduce you to new members of the Microsoft Web Stack space, Microsoft WebMatrix and Orchard. I will start with WebMatrix, and at 10:45 I will hold the talk on Orchard. So, WebMatrix, what is WebMatrix? WebMatrix is a new tool which can be used in order to create web application in a simple and quick way without having to use the whole typical .NET infrastructure. So WebMatrix, if you want, it's a new tool which can be used in order to create, customize, and publish application in an easy way. And as we'll see in a moment, WebMatrix, it's more than just a tool because it also contains all the pieces which are required in order to create web application. In fact, it contains a new web development web server. It contains a new web framework, and it contains a new embedded database. More on this in a moment. So now, why do we need something new? Are Visual Studio and ASP.NET not enough? Actually, yes, if you are a professional developer and you are already using Visual Studio and ASP.NET, no problem, you can keep on using those two, the framework and the tool. But the problem is that there are people out there for which probably Visual Studio and ASP.NET are probably, I don't want to say too difficult, but probably too much. And especially if they just want to build a website in a simple and fast way. So if you ever bought an ASP.NET book, I think I bought my first one like 10 years ago. It was one of those teaching you ASP.NET in 21 days or learning ASP.NET in 21 days. You probably know that in order to understand such a book, you probably need a computer science degree, or at least you need to be a little bit familiar with concepts like object-oriented programming, framework, classes, and so on. So we really wanted to change this. We wanted to make ASP.NET more approachable. And so making it more approachable for people who are, first of all, learning web development for the first time, and I want to build dynamic web pages. So people who are maybe familiar with HTML, people who maybe have some notion of CSS and so on, and I want to build dynamic web pages. So I can think, for instance, at student, but not only, also at developer, a professional developer who just want to quickly build during their free time their private website or a website for a friend who has a small business activity. And it's also good for so a quick and dirty solution, so you really don't have much time and you need things done, okay? So WebMatrix, it's really task-oriented. We want to focus ourselves on the application functionality instead of the developer's details. Then we have another target, which are the developer who built website starting from an existing open source application. There are many out there. We have .NET Nuke, we have Drupal, we have Joomla, BlogEngine.net, really quite a lot of open source application. So all those developers who really prefer to take an existing application, customize it, and deploying it without having to worry too much about the details. Before I mentioned that WebMatrix is more than a tool, in fact, it includes three new components which are suitable for web development and which will be part of a future update of Visual Studio 2010. And those components are, the first one is IIS Developer Express, which is a version of IIS built specifically for a development environment, so you don't have to be an administrator of your machine in order to use IIS Express. You can think of this as a replacement for the Cassini web server, which is part of Visual Studio 2010, and by the next service pack of Visual Studio 2010, it will include this new IIS Developer Express web server, and it will replace the Cassini web server. Then the second one is SQL Server Compact Edition 4. This is also a new embedded database. It's version 4. And It's an embedded database which has been optimized for web application. So it is Xcopy deployable. It means you can really copy everything, the database itself and the SQL engine itself, and copy and deploy it on the server, and it will just run. And the interesting part is that on the server of your hosting provider, you do not need any kind of server installation. But we will see more during the talk. And then finally, we have ASP.NET web pages and Razor syntax, which provide, if you want, a simplified development model for building inline web pages, where you have, if you want, a mix between HTML and code, and this code can be C# or VB.NET. Razor, it's not a new language, it's just a new syntax, which defines how you can embed the code within the HTML. We're going to see many examples of this. Good, I'm already at the first demo. So now I'm going to start WebMetrics, but the first thing you have to know is that WebMetrics has been launched 1.5 weeks ago, the 13th of January. And so how can you get this new tool? So you open a browser and you navigate to the microsoft.com/web/WebMetrics. Once you are on this page, you click on the Install WebMetrics button. What will happen? We will check if you already have the Windows Platform Installer version 3 on your machine. If it is not present, it will be downloaded and installed on your machine. And then it will launch it. So now the Web Platform Installer is being launched. And now you can easily say that you want to install this new tool, Microsoft WebMetrics. So in my case, it will be, as you can see, gray out because it's already present on my machine. If you have already .NET 4, it's about a 15 megabyte download. And then in a few minutes, you will get the simple but powerful complete development environment. Good. I can now start WebMetrics. So this is the launch page, and here you have a couple of choices. The first choice is my site. Here you can see the sites you have previously created, okay? And the second option, Site from Web Gallery. When you select this, you are connected to an online gallery of popular open source applications. You can see we have many of them. We have 41, and this gallery is always growing. We have the typical ASP.NET famous one, like .NET Nuke, BlogEngine.NET, so the ASP.NET one, but we also have the PHP one, like WordPress, Drupal, or Joomla. So the most famous open source applications are all there. They are categorized. So if I need a blog, I can choose a blog. If I need a CMS, they're really categorized. So now, for the moment, let's forget this. I'm going to use it for the second part of the talk, okay, in order to do the org chart presentation. The third option you have, site from template. Here, if you want, on your box, on your local machine, and start a website from there. So in my case, I want to really create a website or a simple sample from scratch. So I'm saying, okay, let's go with the empty site template. And here we, these tools open up, and here we already got some information. We see, okay, that my website will be hosted on localhost, so locally on port 19158. And we also see that my website is being stored within the My Profile document folder. So the same folder, by the way, which is being used by IIS Express. Then what you can say, okay, I want to manage my file, I want to manage database, or I want to run a report like SEO report, search engine optimization report. But let's start and let's go to the file view. And now let's set a file. So I say new file. And here you can see I'm going to select the CSHTML file, and this file type is a new file type. And as the name says, CS stands for C# HTML, it's clear, so C# HTML file. So those are the new kind of file you're using when you want to write web pages using the new Razor view engine, which, by the way, is the same view engine which is available within ASP.NET MVC3, which has also been released on the 13th of January together with WebMetrics. We have another option, which is, of course, VB HTML, so Visual Basic HTML, but in my case, I'm going to select this one. So let's create a default page. And now what we can say, we can start to write some HTML code. They say, okay, I want to add H2 tag. By using the mouse wheel and the control key, you can zoom in and zoom out. And so I can say, I can put a text. So welcome to MSDN Tech Talk. And now I say day and time, do it a little bit smaller. And now you say, okay, I would like to put a piece of code, a piece of code which must be executed on the server side. So what you do, you just put the at character. By saying at, it means that you are starting to put a piece of code. And this is the new Razor syntax. You will find it also within ASP.NET MVC 3. And now you can say, you can start to use the library methods and so on. And so I say, for instance, datetime.now. And now I can press F12 or press the run button. And then we get this first dynamic web page, really basic sample. But now let's continue with the sample. The next thing I want to do, I want to connect myself to a database. How can I do that? What you can do, okay, remove this piece of code here because I don't need it. And now what you can do, you can also define a code block. So if you want to write many lines of code, you can say at, open, close, curly brace. And now you can say, okay, I want to declare a variable, variable DB, and you say, for instance, equal, you initialize the DB variable with database.open, passing the name of a database, let's say MSDN Tech Talk database. This database doesn't exist, we need to create it. But before we create the database, let me just highlight a little bit this database.open call. What's that? This is a so-called helper method, okay? A helper method, if you want, is like a library which is containing typical functions which are used quite often by developer. So things like connecting to a database, like embedding a video. So there are really many, many, many helpers. We are going to see a big list at the end of the presentation. So with one line of code, you can really do many stuff. So now I have to create the MSDN Tech Talk database, so I can go to the database view, and I can say new database. And as you can see here on the top left corner, that a .sdf file has been created. So this is my new SQL Server Compact Edition for database. It's a file. Now I can rename it, and I say it's MSDN Tech Talk. And now I can start, and I say, okay, I would like to create a new table. Let's start by defining the first column. So the first column is name of type varchar. The second column is email, also of type varchar. And the third column is phone. Let's keep things simple, and let's put it as nvarchar. Now you can save it, and now you are required to provide a table name. So I say this is the table person. Good, and now I need to provide some data. So I click on the data tab here on the top, and I can start, okay, name, my mail, my email, phone, we don't care. Let's put Mike with Mike, although it doesn't exist. And also here, let's put, I don't care, just a phone number. Good. Now what we can do, we can go back to the files view. Ah, one more thing before I forget. If you select the SDF file, you see on the top here that there is a migrate button. Why that? But because you have the opportunity to migrate your SQL Server Compact Edition database to a full version of SQL Server. So it can be the full version of SQL Server, or it could be SQL Server Express, okay? So it lets you migrate this embedded database to a normal version of SQL Server. And by the way, within this console, you can really create a local database. You can connect yourself to a local database, to a remote database. It really doesn't matter. We are able also to manage MySQL database, so the typical database which is used within PHP application. So now let's go to the file view. I do a refresh on the website, and now you can see that an app underscore data directory has been created, and you see that I have my SDF file. So now, of course, I want to use this database. So I have opened the connection, and let's start to use it. I already prepared a piece of HTML because I don't want you to see me all the typing the whole time. And so what I'm doing here, I'm adding a table with a header, name, email, and phone. And now with this new Razor syntax, I can say, okay, now I need a for each loop. And I'm saying DB. DB has been defined here on the top. I say db.query. So I want to execute a query on the person table within my database. And then for each record, I'm going to display the name, the email, and the phone. Let's try to test it. I click on run. And voila, I got my table with my records. The next thing we want to do, we want to insert data within our database. So what I need a form, which has already been prepared here. So I go here down within my code. And as you can see, this form contains three input or four input control. So the first one is at the end a text box for the name, the second one is a text box for the email, the third one for the phone, and then we have another input box of type submit. This means it's a button. So when I press the submit button, it will post my data back to the server. Because I'm doing a post back on the same page, I need to grab those information, okay? So let's go here, and I take a piece of code, and what I'm saying here, it's just put some order here, and I'm just saying, okay, if it's a post back, if it's not the first time that somebody is calling this specific page, then you have to execute an insert statement, an insert query inside the person table, passing the name, the email, and the phone, and note that I'm using parameter. Why that? Because we want to avoid SQL injection, okay? In fact, and here what I'm passing the values, I'm requesting the name, requesting the email, and at the end, the phone. So I'm grabbing the value from the text box which has been submitted. Let's start it again and see if it's working. So now I can add something, I don't care. Submit query. And now I have my application back on the, I have my application which is now saving data back to the database. Now what we want to do? Now I'm here, and let's say that I'm created my my website, and I want to deploy it. So what I can do within WebMetrics, there is this publish button, and let's say that you do not have a hosting provider which is supporting WebMetrics, which is offering you hosting in whatever form. And so if you don't have an hosting provider, you can always click on Find Web Hosting. By Find Web Hosting, you will be redirected on the Microsoft Hosting Gallery, where you can really see all the offers which are available in Switzerland for all our hosting providers. And in this case, I'm going to be redirected to Ireland because that's where we have our proxy. And so I'm not going to click on it because I want to have Swiss offer. And what I'm happy to announce today is that in Switzerland, we have three WebMetrics launch partners, and the three partners are iWay, Webland, and Weblink. So they are WebMetrics launch partners. What does it mean that? It means that those partners really fulfill all the requirements for deploying any of those applications which are in the gallery we have seen before, so the PHP one, the ASP.NET one, it doesn't matter if it's based on MySQL, it doesn't matter if it's based on SQL Server, they really fulfill all the technical requirements, so all those free hosters have really the Windows infrastructure ready in order to deploy all those kind of application. And being WebMetrics launch party means also something more. In fact, within WebMetrics, you can click on the publish button and you click on the setting menu entry. And here you have the opportunity to manually insert the credential in order to connect to your hosting provider, or the second option you have is to import an XML file. In fact, when you open an account by one of these three hosts, you will get an email like this one here, containing all the information with the credential, and as an attachment, you will get an XML file containing all the credential which can be imported within WebMetrics. So I go here, I say import publish setting, the file has been saved on my desktop, so I'm importing it. Now you can choose between FTP or web deploy. I've created an additional virtual directory, so I just need to do a small change here. You can now validate the connection and see if everything is working. Connection successfully, so I'm now connected with my hosting provider. I can now save the setting, and now if I click on publish, WebMetrics is going to tell me, hey, if you want, I can do a check on the server of the hoster in order to check if all the technical requirements are available, if the application that you want to deploy can be deployed actually on this hoster. I'm not going to do the check because I know it's everything is fine. And now it's going to connect to the server of my hosting provider and it's going to check if there are any differences. Of course, this is the first time I'm deploying this application, so it's telling me that the change files are all the files. And here, as you can see, this is what I was mentioning before, that when I'm doing the deployment of a web application which is using SQL Server Compact Edition 4, I'm going to deploy everything. So the application, but not only, the database, and the database engine. And here you see you have those DLL, which are SQL CE something. So those DLL represent the SQL Server Compact Edition 4 engine. So you really deploy everything with your application. The hoster doesn't need to have anything on the hoster. And by the way, it's free, so you don't have to pay any SQL hosting fee. And here below, you see, okay, I say I want also to copy my .sdf file, which is the real database with the data. Let's say continue. And now it's going to start the publishing. You can see here below. It takes a moment. I just wait a couple of seconds. Otherwise, I will go back to the slide. Okay, I can go back to the slide and come back later. So let's see a little bit more into the detail those three new components. So the first one, IIS Developer Express. Basically, we took the IIS 7 or 7.5 code base we shipped with Windows Server 2008 R2, and we did some changes in order to make it more simple and in order to make it, let's say, the right web server for development environment. This means that it does not require administrative privileges in order to run, which is an interesting point. And which means also that it can be installed in a multi-user environment. So where you can create a website within WebMetrics, and this website is being saved in the profile document folder of the connected user. It runs as an interactive process, not as a service. What does it mean that? That when you start WebMetrics, the IIS Developer Express will be available. When you close WebMetrics, the IIS Developer Express process will go away. It will support all the IIS 7 module, all the PHP application, ASP.NET app, and another nice thing, I think, you can run it from the command line utility. So if you don't have WebMetrics on your machine, if you do not have Visual Studio, what you can do, you can open a command prompt, you navigate to the installation directory of WebMetrics, you execute iisexpress.exe, passing a port number, the port number you like, and then you put slash path, passing the path to your website you want to host. You execute this command, and if it's successful, you can then open a browser and type HTTP localhost, in the case with this port number and with this pointing to the website you are hosting within IIS. So if you want, you don't need IIS, the full IIS 7 on your machine. You don't need it because you can always do like that with IIS Developer Express. So it's a nice new feature we have. The second guy is SQL Compact 4, and maybe somebody is asking himself, but actually SQL Server Compact Edition, it's not something new. If I install today Visual Studio 2010, I get SQL Server Compact Edition 3.5, I think Service Pack 2. And the problem is that this database, which is part today of Visual Studio 2010, was not designed for web scenario. Why that? Because this database engine was not designed, if you want, for the multi-request nature of web application. So if you want, you can use it in a web application, but as soon as you will deploy your application in production, you will start to get error, because as I said, it's not been designed for web application. With SQL Compact Edition 4, we changed this, and so now SQL Server Compact Edition 4 has been optimized for web application. You can use it within web application. The SQL Compact 4 engine itself, it's about a 2 megabyte package. So it's a file-based database, Xcopy deployable, you have seen. And what I can say more, we have seen when you deploy the application within the bin directory of your application, you will find all the DLL of the engine of the database, so everything is being Xcopied on the server. And another thing you have to know is that there are some features within the embedded edition which are not available, like stored procedure views and, for instance, geolocation type. And if you're using the right compatible type which are available on both platforms, with both platforms I mean from one side SQL Server Compact Edition and on the other side the full version of SQL Server or SQL Server Express, well, if you do like that, you get built-in migration support within WebMatrix. We have seen this migration button. Good. ASP.NET Web Pages and Razor Syntax Principle. As I said, we want to make ASP.NET Web Pages really more approachable. And we have this new Razor engine, and what you have to know is that ASP.NET Web Pages, it's really a new framework. So today now we have three different frameworks. We have ASP.NET Web Form, we have ASP.NET MVC, and now we are adding ASP.NET Web Pages. And ASP.NET Web Pages is using the same Razor engine, which has been included now in ASP.NET MVC version 3. And so the idea is that if somebody today is starting to using WebMatrix, it will then in the future have a smooth ramp up to ASP.NET MVC and Visual Studio, because what you learn inside the WebMatrix, inside the tool, the new syntax, for instance, is still valid inside ASP.NET MVC 3. Good. Deploying we have seen. You have two different options, FTP and web deploy. And so now I'm going to do the second demo, and with the second demo we are going to modify an existing site. So I close WebMatrix. Oh, I didn't check if it did the deploy. Let's try. I don't remember, probably it's the 13. I need, should be this one, to check if my application has been deployed. So let's go to the webland.ch page. And now we see we have our application, and now I can add additional record, and you see it's working. So now we have seen our application has been deployed. Good. Let's start the second demo. So I have prepared here an HTML website, and it's a static website. It's an HTML-based solution. It's within this folder here. I can right-click on it and say open as a website within WebMatrix. put. I can just, you can see our all HTML site. I can start it, and you see I have an about page, I have a product page, and I have a home page. And as you can note, it's a little bit big, but all those pages have the same header and the same footer. And the problem with this website is that it's completely static. If I need to add like a product, I need to start to edit in my HTML. So we want to change this, and we want to add product in a dynamic way. So I'm going to use a database. But the first thing I have to do is to rename those files. So let's say rename the first one. Instead of as HTML website, I need now a CS HTML file. So the new file type we have seen before. Rename this one. Good. So as I said, all the pages are using the same header and the same footer. If we have a look shortly, you can see, but believe me, they have the same header. The default page has, once again, the same header and the same footer as well. So all those pages really share the header and the footer. But as I said, if I need to do any change, I need to type my HTML. So what you can do? I'm going to use layout pages. And layout pages, if you want, are pages that contain HTML content, which can be shared by different pages. So what you do, I say, okay, I want to add a new file of type CS HTML. And as a name, I put underscore layout. Why I'm putting underscore layout? Because when you put an underscore, it means that this page cannot be requested by the browser. So it's a way of securing your file. You just put an underscore in front of the name of your file. So I say OK. And now I'm going to copy all the HTML from the about page, from one of the pages of my website, and I'm putting inside my layout page. So within the layout page, I want to define the header, I want to define the footer. So I keep the header and the footer, and here is the place where I have the body. So I delete the body, and instead of the body, I'm putting an helper method which is saying render body. Okay? So that every single page will then display his own body within the body div. The next thing we want to do, we want to change a little bit these layout pages in order to show you additional feature you have. And one of the features you have is that inside with Razor, we support clean URL. So you can really remove the HTML extension. And by the way, now we don't have any more HTML5, but we have CS HTML5. So you can remove the extension on this here as well. And the next thing I wanted to show you, it's a method which is called the href method. And this is a method that can be used in order to create path to resources. So path, for instance, to cascading stylesheet file, path to pages. So I'm going to do a small change. So I say href. And then I'm saying, okay, root. I'm telling him the site.css file. You can find it starting from the root website, site.css, and then you can close it like this. So if you want, it converts the path created within the server code, and that in a way that the browser can understand. So I did it here on the top, but I forgot the add because it's a piece of code. And the next thing I want to do, I want to replace also the URL here below. So I already prepared it. I have the div, and I'm replacing it. It's really always the same. And as you can see, in the case of my title, I'm just pointing to the root. And if you're pointing to the root, if you don't you're not defining any page, then you're going to be redirected automatically to the default.cs.html page. For the product page, I'm just saying /product, and for the other one, /about. Why that? Because we are supporting out-of-the-box clean URL. Okay, now of course I need to use this layout page within my pages, so let's go within the About page. I have to remove the header, also the div here. I remove the footer, and then let's align a little bit the stuff on the left side. So I'm just keeping the body of my page. And here now on the top, I can say, I have to put a code block, and I can say that the layout page to be used is underscore layout.cshtml. Okay? The same thing can be done in the other pages. Now I'm just going a little bit quicker, so remove the header, remove the footer. Let's put it on the left side. Let's do the same for the product page. So remove the header, remove the footer. Yes, and put it on the left side. So on all those pages, we are just keeping the body of our website. Of course, I need to add this layout stuff, but I forgot to show you something. There is a way you can also define like placeholder within your layout page. And so I can say here, for instance, here I want to put the title of my page. So I can say add page, and then you can say dot, and you can put a name that you like, for instance, title, but can be title one, title two, whatever you like. So I'm saying that here I'm going to page to put the value of the title variable. So I need to set on the other pages the value of this page.title. And in the case of the about page, it's about us page. Now I copy this piece of code, paste it within all other site. I didn't copy it. Let's go back. Paste. This is the product site. It's the home site. Now I go on the product site. I'm doing the same thing. Okay, and now I think I'm finished. I can try to test it. So let's start again. The product page is still working. The home page is still working with the layout, and the about page is still working. Good. So far so good. The next thing we want to do, we want of course to change this product page because we want to have dynamic stuff within the page. So once again, I'm going to connect myself to a database. And by the way, the database has already been created, and it's the bakery.sdf database. So I copy this SQL Server Compact Edition database within the folder of my application. I create an app underscore data folder because that's the place where I have to put the database. And now I go back to WebMetrics. I do a refresh of my web page, and you see we have the updated directory with my database. I can now open the connection. So I say wardb equal database dot open, passing the name of my database, which is Bakery. And now I can start to query my database and replacing all this piece of hard-coded HTML just to show you once again the power of the new Razor syntax. So I replaced the whole piece of HTML here. And as you can see, here I'm defining a piece of code. So once again, I'm doing a for each loop. I'm querying the product table. And then for each single product, I'm displaying the name, the image information. Here I'm using once again the href method, the description, and the price, and so on. Okay, good. So now, so calling the order page, passing the product ID of my product. So I can just run it to show you the look of this page. And now we see we have this order now button. If I click on it, of course, I'm getting an error. Why that? Because the order page doesn't exist. So now we need to create the order page. This is the next step. So I say, Okay, add a new file of type cshtml. Let's call it order.cshtml. And the first thing I want to do, although here I've already prepared a piece of code to not lose too much time, it's more or less always the same thing. I need to put the code block. And once again, what I'm doing, I'm opening the connection to the database. I'm requesting the product ID, so I'm grabbing the value of the parameter, and then I'm executing a query on my product table passing the ID so that I got within the product variable all the information about the selected product, about the product I want to order. Now let's do a short test. So I remove here the whole code and I just put at product.name. It's just a short test to see if it's working. So I go on the product table, and when I click on the order now button, I'm getting the name of the selected product. Now I need to add a piece of HTML in order to make the UI a little bit better. Don't worry, I'm going to explain you this piece of HTML. It's quite a lot of code, but I'm going to highlight the most important part. So first thing I'm going to start it so that you get an idea of the UI. So let's start from the product page. Let's click on the order now button. I forgot to put the layout information, so I need to say that this page also needs to use the layout.cshtml page, and I also need to set a title. This is the order page. Voila. Let's try again. Run. Click on order now. And this is the UI you get, okay? A little bit of HTML, and the most important part is here. I have an email text box, I have a shipping address, and then here I have a text box where I can put the quantity, and when I'm losing the focus from the text box, the total is being calculated automatically. And then by click on the placeholder button, I'm going to order, in this case, the lemon tart. So let's go back to the code, and I want to highlight something. The first thing I want to highlight you, it's here on the bottom, and it's this piece of JavaScript. Don't worry, it's a piece of JavaScript which is using a jQuery library. And the thing I want to highlight is that I'm using a nice, quite new feature, which is called CDN, Content Delivery Network. So instead of having within my project all the jQuery JavaScript file within my folder, I can point to a server from Microsoft where all those JavaScript DLL are available, DLL JavaScript file are available. So you can find the jQuery library, you can find the Microsoft Azure client-side library, really everything. So it's a nice feature so that you don't have to enclose within your application the JavaScript library. So that is the first thing. The second thing, okay, here is a piece of JavaScript code. I didn't write it by myself. I just copied it from somewhere. It's using the jQuery library, and it's calculating the total, okay, based on the quantity and the price. Now let's go here on the top. What I'm having here, it's a hidden text box control, so I hit an input control if you want, where I'm going to store the product ID. And then I have a submit button, which is the placeholder submit button. So when I'm going to do the submit of this form, I'm going to post the product ID to the next page, which will be, we will see in a moment. So I'm going to do actually a post back on the same page. Now what we can see that here I have the text box for my email. Here I have the text area control where I can provide my shipping address. And here below, okay, some span tag in order to show the price and the total. And here the text box in order to put the quantities. So really basic HTML stuff. As you have seen, I have put an email text box. So now the next thing I want to do is to send an email to this fourth coffee shop in order to order some product. And what I want to do before sending an email, I want to add some validation stuff within some validation logic within my page. How can I do that? So let's prepare the piece of code. So as I said, when I click on the placeholder button, I'm going to do a post back on the same page. So once again, I'm using the same syntax I was showing to you before, and I'm saying if it's a post back, I need to grab the provided email, I need to grab the provided order shipping, okay? And now, as I said, I need to do some validation. In order to do validation, you can use this model state helper class and saying, if my email is empty, please, you have to show the following error message. You must specify an email address. The same thing is done for the order shipping text error control. Okay? And now you may ask yourself, okay, but now where I'm going to show this information? Where will the error message appear within my HTML site? And this information is provided by the first parameter, order email in the case of the email and order shipping in the case of the text error control, in the case of the shipping address. And those names are used here below. So what you can do, I can uncomment this piece of code. And in this case, I'm using once again a different helper method. And I'm saying, okay, the validation message, so the error message, if you want, related to the email, must be displayed here just near the input text box for the email. The same thing is done for the shipping address. So I'm saying the validation related to the text error control must appear just next. Let's go up to the code. At the end, what I'm saying is, if I do not have any error, no error, what I do, I'm going to send the email. But let's start with the test of this feature. So I go to the product page, I run the application, I click on order now, and now if I click on placeholder without providing any kind of information, I'm getting this error message near the two text boxes, exactly what I was expecting. The next thing, or the second option you have, instead of having single message, you can have also a summary validation. And so instead of displaying the message here and here, you can say, okay, I want to display them on the top of my page by using this validation summary syntax. Let's try and run it once again. Click on a product. Placeholder, and you see now I get all the message here on the top. That's the second option you have. The next thing we want to do is to send the email. So in order to send the email, also here we have a nice helper class you can use. It seems a big piece of code, and it is, but it's just because I'm building the body of the email. So I have it here and paste it. So if I have no error, I'm going to send an email. So in the first part here, I'm just preparing the body. Thank you. We have received your order, blah, 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 requesting all the information. Also here, we are doing some formatting for the shipping address. Here is, again, preparing the body. So it's nothing special. And the important part is here. So here, what you have here is you are actually configuring an email server. In my case, I'm using the live server, which is the Hotmail server. I'm setting the port number, and then I'm providing some credentials. This is just a test account I've created. So you are using this webmail helper class. And then finally, below, you just say webmail.send, passing the destination email, passing a subject, and the body. And if everything is fine, I'm getting redirected to the order success page. So I'm going to include this page within my project. Order success page, copy, and paste it within the project. Let's go back here. Let's refresh it. And now let's test the application and see if everything is working. So I order now this product. I'm going to put my Microsoft email address. We don't care about the shipping address. Place order, and let's see if it's working. And voila, my email has been sent. Let's wait a couple of seconds. So what we have seen is that I'm using a Hotmail account. Why that? Because Hotmail is, if you want, is offering free access to POP3 and SMTP. That's why you can, by code, interact with your account. So the mail has been sent. Let's check if I'm getting the email. Not yet. We can go back to the slide and have a look later. So during this demo, I've used many times many different helper, and we have really many of them. We have security helper. You can also integrate membership. There is a recapture support, preventing automated program from registering with your website. We have helper in order to embed video within your page. Bing, embedded Bing search box into your website. So really a big list. Okay. I'm going just to show you one single helper, which is the Twitter helper. So I go back to my application. And what you have to know is that there are some helper which are already available by the default installation, and there are some helper which you need to install locally on your application. So if you want to install those because they are not out of the box available, you can go on the site view. You can click on ASP.NET Web Pages Administrator. The first time is asking you a password. So you create a password, and now you can read this message box later. But what you actually have to do, you need to remove the underscore here for whatever security reason. So now let's go back to the site. Let's go back to the administration website, and now I can log in with the password I just have created. And now we're getting to this online gallery of helper which are available. You see, we have Facebook helper, we have PayPal helper, we have OData helper if you want to interact with OData source. In my case, I want to use a Twitter helper, so I'm going to search for a Twitter helper. So if you want, you can also create by yourself helper and upload them on the gallery. So I'm going, okay, Fantis is here, the Twitter helper. I install it on my application, install. And so now I have Twitter functionality available within my application. Let's go back to my application, to the file view. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to open the About page. And here I'm going to add the Twitter helper. So what I can say at, I think it's twittergoodies.search, and passing, for instance, dash bakery, because I'm interested on information about bakery. Let's try to run the page and see if it's working. Okay, here it's here below. And now I have my Twitter feed below. You really have a tons of helper. You can really do many stuff. PayPal integration, really a lot of them. Good. Let's go back to the slide. 5 minutes more. So we are seeing really a tons of helper you can use. And this is the way you install the helper. We have already seen it in the demo. And you can also create, if you want, your own custom helper. How can you do that? You create an app code folder within your website. And within the app code folder, you put a CSHTML file. You call it, for instance, myhelpers.cshtml. And then you can define a helper, which in my case is node. You can also define parameter, like in this case, string contents of type screen. And then this is really a stupid helper, which is just showing the past content within a div. Okay, it's not doing anything special. The way you use the helper, you say at the name of the file, in my case, myhelper dot name of the method, make note, and then you can use it passing the content you like. That's the way you can do in order to create custom helper. WebMetrics supported platform, all those platforms are being supported, it's on the list. And some more information, WebMetrics is available in 9 different languages, German, French as well. A really nice tutorial is available on ASP.NET/WebMetrics/tutorials. All the stuff you have seen today are available within this tutorial and much more. I can just give you a look on this to get an idea. So if you click on this tutorial link, and then you can go on the... getting started here. You see, you really have... No, it's not this one. Getting started with WebMetrics and ASP.NET web pages. Here you really have everything. All you have seen today in this main... in this demo is being explained into the detail here. You really see everything. You say, okay, I need to embed a video. How I do, you click working with video and you just copy and paste the code and it will just work. So really an easy way for creating a web application. Good. There is also a report section. I'm not going to show many things here, but it's a SEO reports, so a search engine optimization report you can use, which is showing you how you can make your website more relevant for the search engine. So it's going to give you a list of keywords you can put in the meta tag inside your website in order to make your website more relevant. And there is also a request section here. Somewhere here, request. So you can see all the requests which has been done on your website. This is really nice because you can see if there are any problems. You can see if there are any problems, if an image is missed or whatever. So it's really quite helpful. Good. Back to the slide. The last thing I want to mention to you, I don't know if we have any students studying at Swiss University. Anyway, for those, we have 1 year free hosting. It's an offer from Microsoft Switzerland in collaboration with our free hosting partner. So we are offering to students 1 year free hosting. Special condition applies. It's nothing special. Actually, you need to deploy something. Otherwise, we are going to close the account. But you can go on academiczone.ch and you can see, you can find all the information. You click on the promotion link and you will find all the information in order to apply for this offer. I'm actually at the end and I think we have some Q&A.
We have one question. The question is, where do I get these sample files? Will we be shopping them or are they available?
We are going to put everything on our website. You are going to receive a thank you email with the link where you can download the slide and the sample and the code, everything. Any question in the room? Absolutely. There is a Visual Studio button. So here in WebMetrics, if you go on my files view, there is a Visual Studio button, so you can open it within Visual Studio, okay? Yes? To SQL, the question is if I can import data into the SQL Server Compact Edition database, not here in WebMetrics, not in this tool. Yes? Yes, so the requirement on the server side, basically you need .NET 4. So the question, sorry, is about what are the technical requirements for deploying an application which is being developed with WebMetrics, with the new ASP.NET Web Pages framework. So the requirement on the server side are .NET 4, and then, as you maybe have seen when I did the deployment of my application, all the DLL, the ASP.NET web pages DLL are included in the bin directory of your application. So you really just need .NET 4. And of course, if you want to use web deploy within WebMetrics, then your hosting provider needs to install the web deploy module on IIS. Okay. Other question? Yes? The question is if it's possible to do some debugging functionality within WebMetrics, and the answer for the moment, No, it's not possible. The only thing you can do at the moment is by writing, by typing the value of your variable, you can understand what's wrong. So you can say, like I did before, at product.name, I wanted to check some stuff. But you don't have built-in debugging functionality for the moment. It may be something which will come in a future version. Other question? Yes? Yes, you can. As I was showing just short before, you have, for instance, an OData helper class you can use, and an OData, it's typically, you can find some sample on the tutorial, are those .svc files or WCF web services. So WCF web services are supported, yes. Other question? Sorry? We have some IntelliSense, have you seen before, by the HTML, but it will come more. Other question? Yes? So it's for sure, what's the target of WebMetrics? For sure for hobbyist developer, but as I mentioned before, to professional developer as well, if you just want to really to build a quick and dirty solution, that's also a target. For web agencies which are working with those open source applications like Joomla, Drupal, WordPress, .nuke, and so on, because for many people, Visual Studio, it's really too much, okay? It's probably also too difficult. And so this is the target we are thinking for WebMetrics. As you will see in the second talk, I'm going to use WebMetrics in order to do the talk on all the Orchard CMS. The WebMetrics tool, yes, is for free. SQL Server Compact Edition 4 is also for free. IIS Developer Express is also for free. Everything I showed to you today is for free. The question is if it's WebMetrics is just running on Windows PC. Yes.
I was following on from that. If this is aimed at a simple user, everything you did was in HTML. Is it not a visual designer?
Good question. So the question is everything should be simple, but why do I have to type all this piece of HTML? So the answer is that on the net you can find quite a lot of Razor template, which are already available. I think the website is called templatemonster.com. So they are giving a template, Razor template, which you can use within your website, because I understand sometimes typing CSS and writing HTML code is not probably the easiest thing. So there are many templates available, as you have seen here also when you do new website, site from template, we have other sample, We have other sample available. We have the bakery template, which is, by the way, the sample I built today in the presentation. We have a photo gallery template, a calendar template, and so on. But we will get more of them. Yes? So the question is, how can we, let's say, use the feature we are using within WebMetrics as well in the professional development with ASP.NET MVC, for instance, okay? So you can really, the Razor I was mentioning it before, it's really the highlight within ASP.NET MVC version 3, which has been also released the same day released WebMetrics, the first thing of January, okay? So what you learn here, the Razor syntax, it's one-to-one the same you're using inside ASP.NET MVC version 3. The helper class you're using here can also be used within ASP.NET MVC.
We have a question here. How do I connect to an existing SQL Server database?
So you go inside the tool. Let's open again my sample. You go on the database. So the question is, how do I connect to an existing database? And instead of saying new database, you say new connection. And by clicking on new connection, you can connect to local database, to remote database. You can also connect to a SQL Azure database.